All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast on a Sunday night slash afternoon. I got Brandon all the way from Florida. How are you doing?
Not bad, Rob. How about you, boys? How's everybody else doing?
Don't ever say Florida like that again, but I'm doing great.
And we got Shane, and we got a new member of our team in William Jones, who we've worked with in the past at Relevant. Hi, William. How are you? Welcome to the show, buddy.
Doing great. Can't wait to talk about some football with you guys.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. All right. We're doing NFC North this week. Overall thoughts on this division? Are you guys happy we're getting to somewhat of an interesting division?
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, because last couple weeks it's been like the NFC South, AFC South, you know, just kind of snoozes, more or less.
Here's a snooze of a team. Brandon, how upset do you think Justin Jefferson is going to get by week six with Sam Darnold throwing to him, sadly?
Honestly, Justin Jefferson, Hockenson, I mean, he's out, but Hockenson, you know, the all their targets, you know, Addison, you know, Powell to a certain extent, because Powell I don't think has been that bad. But I look at it as, I mean, listen, you still, yeah, honestly, JJ McCarthy wasn't having a great camp anyway, and Darnold's a veteran. You might have been better off just having, I mean, listen, I know you drafted McCarthy early, but you're better off probably, this is probably I don't want to say it's best case scenario, because it's not the best case scenario for JJ, but this is probably the best case scenario for the team in the long run. Given, because JJ, I just don't think JJ is the guy overall, but I don't think he's the guy, you know, at least this season. And I think it's better if he just has that season to kind of sit out, heal, rest, but also mature and learn as well. But yeah, Justin Jefferson can't be happy. Justin Jefferson and then to a lesser extent Jordan Addison, they haven't had a real QB throwing them the ball. I mean, say what you want about Kirk Cousins, you know, stats wise, Kirk Cousins looks great. Like, Kirk Cousins is a guy where it's like, you look at the numbers and you're like, oh my God, he looks great. And then you look at the eye, you look at the eye test and he's like, wow, this guy sucks. And it's so weird. So you go from that then to having this transition period, but now Kirk Cousins is gone. You have now, okay, JJ McCarthy's going to be your guy. JJ McCarthy wasn't lighting it up in college. I mean, I didn't see any reason why the Vikings should have taken him. It would have been a good situation for him, though, because now he would have had guys to throw to that can definitely bail him out on a lot of bad throws. And, you know, Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, Jones out of the backfield, despite being a little older, still can put up numbers. But, you know, I mean, Darnold, they said that Darnold was pretty much having a better camp than he was for a while. You know, Darnold is a veteran. He's going to game manage, which is you know, it's not going to be any different than what you had in Kirk Cousins. Because Kirk Cousins, you know, we have his own tier for a reason on this show. You know, when it comes to game managers, Kirk Cousins is, you know, one of the best ever to do it. And that's not really in a good or bad way, but that's just what the term game manager is. Just, you know, whatever, meh. So, you know, but I feel for Justin Jefferson, he deserves better. Addison deserves better. That whole offense really deserves better. But you know what, though? I want to look at the defense more. Because today, was it today or yesterday, they just picked up Stephon Gilmore.
Yep, early this morning they picked him up.
Yeah. That is going to fly under the radar. But Stephon Gilmore can still, you know, now he's going to be 34 when the season starts. But he can still produce. Last year, he had two picks. He had 13, you know, pass breakups. He had a forced fumble. Like, you know, he put in some work despite being a little older. So, I mean, you know, that definitely, especially a veteran presence for that team, it definitely helps. You know, looking at the list of guys, you know, Byron Murphy's there. Shaquille Griffin is there. I'm surprised. I forgot he even was there, to be honest. You know, Van Ginkle, Harrison Smith. I mean, that guy seems like, you know, from what I remember, the guy is just a lifer. He's always, you know, this is 13 years of him already, and he's mostly been a Viking. You know, pretty much a captain, and a captain for a good reason. They love him there. You know, I don't think the defensive line's all that great. You got guys in there that don't really have, or actually not even that they have any experience. They don't really have much. The only one that really does is Jonathan Greenard. Yeah. He had 12 and a half sacks last year, but you know, he's really the only guy on that defensive line worth talking about. So the rest of the guys are going to have to step up. So there's not, I mean, Nielsen, that's what you expect from a kind of mishmash defense of a couple of veterans and a lot of guys who just don't have a ton of playing experience. So, I mean, there's not much to expect from this team in general, but you know, the biggest thing we're going to look for is obviously now with JJ McCarthy out, what is Sam Darnold going to do? You know, I don't know. We'll see, but they have a quarterback room. That's at least, if nothing else, that quarterback room does have experience. Darnold, Nick Mullins, Jaren Hall, Matt Corral. So as of now, before they make all these final cuts. But, you know, it's not great if you're a wide receiver, if you're just any receiving target on that team. It's not great. You're going to have to really bail out your quarterback and make him look good. But then again, that's nothing that you're not used to. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, Kirk Cousins, game manager, Sam Darnold, you know, whatever, going to have to be a game manager there. They don't want him to, you know, go air raid on defenses. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, this team is just not great. And, yeah, I don't see anything really great coming out of them. I mean, you know, this to me on paper is like a, I hate to say it, but 6-win team. Probably.
Who's your X factor here, Brandon? Just a reminder for Will as well. We cannot pick the same X factor player, but go ahead, Brandon. Who's your X factor for this team?
You know, I mean, it's gonna be. You know what's funny? Like the easy answer that everyone's gonna say is obviously Justin Jefferson. But and you know, I'll let someone else pick him, but. You know, last year Justin Jefferson was hurt. Started over 1,000 yards in just 10 games, which was extremely impressive. But I think my X factor, and just to get Sam Darnold comfortable, I think the X factor was going to have to step up. As much as you know, Justin Jefferson will do his job. I'm going to say that the X factor will probably have to be. You know what? It's probably going to have to be. Jordan Addison. It's a wide receiver too. You know, those two together can be a really good duo if they're both healthy. Addison is, I mean, last year as a wide receiver too, the guy had over 900 yards. And then, yeah, 900 yards and he had 10 TDs, which is insane. And that was his, you know, his rookie season. So he's only 22 years old. We you know, you would think, oh, his second year receiver, he'd be like 24 around there. No, he's only 22. So he'll continue to grow. And I think, you know, the best case scenario for Sam Darnold to not have one guy to focus on, because you already know Justin Jefferson is going to be the focus, but if they're going to have any success, Addison's going to have to kind of, you know, take that little bit of that next step. And then we'll see what happens if he can get to maybe 1,000 yards this year. And maybe instead of 10 touchdowns, maybe 11 or 12, we'll see. You know, who knows? He just has to continue to be consistent. And with Sam Darnold, you're going to need, you know, he's going to need that consistency, that dependable number two to rely on, not just Justin Jefferson all the time, not just Hockenson, because Hockenson, you know, you never know with tight ends how a lot of them can get hurt pretty easy. And right now, I believe he's out officially on the injury report. So we'll see how his health comes into this, you know, how we come into this the early part of the season here. But, yeah, I think it's Jordan Addison.
Will, what is your opinion on the Vikings here without JJ for the year?
I believe it's going to be a tough task. I think that, to be honest, come to this season, you know, after getting rid of Kirk Cousins and moving on for him, especially it's not working for them, going into these couple of years with Kirk Cousins, with the Vikings, especially going to the playoffs, they went to the playoffs, but didn't have much success, and also missing the playoff a couple times, even with Cousins there. I feel like transition now, I think a lot of people expected J.J. McCarthy to start. Now he is out for the entire season. I think with Sam Darnold, it's going to be a lot of struggling pains, but I know they also signed Matt Corral. I'm not sure if he's going to be a viable option, to be honest, because I know he struggled a little bit of trying to become a starter in this league, or at least a consistent starter. And I feel like with Sam Darnold, it's going to be a struggle, but I think that the Vikings head coach, I think he's going to do, at least he's going to work well with what he has. I'm not sure if he's like Kevin Stefanski type of good with basically working with any quarterback in his system. But he did do well with Joshua Dobbs and did well with, I believe, Mullins. So I think he could do a little bit some with Sam Darnold, but I don't think they're really going to go far into this season. And if they make the playoffs, they're going to be an early round exit.
Who's your X factor here?
As far as play on the Vikings?
Yeah, just pick one player that you think will be important for this team this year.
I think the obvious one is Justin Jefferson, but if I have to choose, I go with Harrison Smith. I think Harrison Smith's leadership and being a leader of that defensive side of the ball, I think it's going to be more help for the Vikings, especially with not having a guy stable at the QB position. I think the defense is going to be heavily relied upon for this season.
Shane, defensively, they're in somewhat of a good spot picking up Gilmore, but what do you expect for the team overall?
It's tough to say. It's tough to.
About to go.
Say with. Huh?
No, are you good, Shane? Your mic just kind of cut off there. You're good. Go ahead.
Oh, am I back? Okay, that's weird. it's tough to say with Gilmore. You know, he is 34 now, and being a corner, that's a very physical position. They don't last forever like, you know, a quarterback does or sometimes a tackle. But, regardless, it's good to have a veteran presence in the secondary, along with, like Will was saying, a guy like Harrison Smith. And, it's... I think really this team's biggest limitation is the quarterback and the defensive line as well. But those are probably the quarterback and the pass rush are probably the two most important positions in the game right now. So when you're struggling with both of those, especially when you're in a division with guys like Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Caleb Williams could be good. We'll talk about him in a minute. We'll see, though. You got to have a pass rush, and they just don't. So, that's probably going to be their biggest issue. Losing JJ doesn't really change how I feel about them. I didn't think he would really play much this year anyways, to be honest with you, but... But you never know. I mean, if he'd been healthy, maybe he would have. I don't know. It's I just think it's weird. If he hadn't won the national championship, I guarantee you he would not have been a first rounder. Which maybe that's a hot take. I don't know. But, it's just when you watch any game of JJ, he doesn't do much. He just passes the ball or he hands the ball off every single play. And it was no different in the national championship. He didn't do anything. But he won, so he's great because winning is a quarterback stat, apparently. Yeah, so anyways, I don't know. It just seems weird to me. It's like you move on from Kirk Cousins to just get a guy who plays exactly like him but is younger. It's like, what are you doing? What are you hoping to accomplish here? So yeah, I think they probably win 6 or 7. Just because there is some talent here. I mean, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones, all really solid players. Addison too. And this offensive line's not terrible. I mean, it's not the best, but they've got guys. Darashaw, he's pretty decent. But yeah, it's just the quarterback position there. So I'll take Sam Darnold for my X factor. Just because it's, you know, is he going to be able to keep things together and at least keep them competitive? Maybe not like, you know, winning a Super Bowl, but not that that's their goal this year, but can you just at least keep them in games? I think that'll be the biggest test.
Yeah, and then for me, it has to be TJ Hawkinson. I think he needs a safety valve. This is what Darnold is. He's a guy who needs that safety valve, needs a guy to help him offensively. I think he'll be super important moving forward there. Shane, get us started with the Packers. Big new contract for Jordan Love. This team has high expectations in year two, even with such a young roster.
Yeah, and, you know, it's it's always risky giving a guy this big of a contract after not just 1 year of production, but really only, like, a second half of a season of good football. But, you know, the fact that it happened in the second half of the year and not the first half when he played great and then declined after that, that's a good sign. I think he's... You know, I think Love is on the right track. I don't think he's going to regress too much, if at all. But, yeah, this, you know, this is a very young team in many ways. But it's interesting because there really aren't... There's not a lot of, you know, like A-level players on this team, but there's like pretty much everybody is at least a B, you know. It's a really, I think they have a really high floor. So, you know, you look at, I mean, you just look around. Love, obviously, is pretty solid, and their receivers, they don't have one that's really a standout guy, but I mean, between the three of them, they're all decent. And same with, you know, like Musgrave, tight end. Offensive line is maybe not quite as good as it has been in years past, but it's still solid. And, you know, you got guys like Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary. I mean, that's one of the best defensive lines in the league right there. And nobody really talks about, you know. Plus you got, like, Quay Walker is really good, and Jair Alexander, when healthy, is one of the best corners. Xavier McKinney, another great pickup. He's a very underrated safety, I think. So, yeah, they've got a lot of talent. And, of course, let's not forget about the pickup of Josh Jacobs, who's probably a top five back in the league right now. I don't know how they got him. I mean, they don't... Green Bay never gets star free agents like that, so yeah, good on them. But... You know, Josh Jacobs, AJ Dillon, that's a pretty good two-headed monster. So, yeah, I don't think these guys win the division, but I think this is probably the, well, yeah, I'm going to say that. I think this is probably the best team in the league that doesn't win their division, if that makes sense.
I think that's certainly fair.
In other words, the best second-place team. I feel like it's either them or the Rams if they stay healthy, which, you know, cross your fingers. So, yeah, anyways, I see these guys winning probably 11 this year. You know, I do think I do think there are some limitations just given how tough this division is. And, you know, how it's kind of a weird mix of, like, young guys who haven't really come into their prime yet and older guys who are maybe a little bit past their prime. So that just, that might lead to a little bit of a, you know, setback here and there. But overall, I mean, this is really solid. They made it to the divisional round last year, almost made it to the NFC Championship. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the NFC Championship this year, depending on how things shake out around the league. And for X-Factor players, since I knew you were going to ask me that, I'm going to say... Yeah, I'm going to say Xavier McKinney. You know, this is... There's a lot of... In the secondary, there's... You know, of course you got Jaire Alexander, but he's kind of in and out with injuries, it seems. So having a guy, you know, bringing in a new guy with some experience in the secondary is going to be really important for them. And because that's definitely, I feel like, a position group where they kind of need some leadership, just because it's either young or it's, you know, newer guys. So, yeah, I'm going McKinney.
Brandon, go ahead with your thoughts on this young Packers roster.
Yeah, well, Shane read my mind again, because, you know, they won 9 games last year, and that was with Love having a great second half. And then he just, you know, first half. So, you know, I'm saying 11 wins, too, just right off the bat. I mean, we'll get to Detroit in a little bit, but, you know, I'm with Shane. They probably finished second in this division. You know, that like Shane was saying, like Shane even said, that there's just so much talent on this roster. Even with the older guys, the older guys are not guys that would jump off the page, but they are guys that have been consistent their whole careers. Like Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary now, Quay Walker so far has been really
good.
All
the B players.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, these guys aren't, you know, elite players, but they're definitely guys that know their role and probably are the best role players you could have in the NFL. And, you know, to pair them up with, especially with that really defensive line with, you know, Alexander, Bullard, and McKinney, those three pretty much in the secondary, you know, it's, you know, you're kind of hard pressed to find a better three than that. As long as Alexander's healthy, that is. So yeah, he's definitely the main cog in that secondary. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy how, you know, I mean, another year together under, you know, with Jordan Love, with his big contract, but another year growing with Watson, Dobbs, you know, Reed, Musgrave, got guys that have, you know, already been there with him, you know, Dylan. Another year of that will help. And that's probably why they'll win 2 games anyway, just because Love will look better in those 2 extra games, and they'll gel more. You know, it's tough when you have a team like this that they make a run for a division, yeah, but you know, the Lions are still better than them. You know, the last year, kind of coming up a little short probably of where they would have liked to, especially how they caught fire in that second half of the season and they destroyed the Dallas Cowboys, you know, just to end up.
Which was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Watching them get lit up by Dallas, I didn't even care that we lost the day after. I was like, nope. I even said it, I think, on the pod, and I told you guys.
You said it on the pod the entire week, that wild card weekend.
That was my Super Bowl last year. Because I knew the Eagles were finished. That was my Super Bowl, watching Green Bay destroy Dallas in Dallas.
And now you're opening up with them. Now you're opening up with the Packers. Yeah. So.
Which is why I want to see. And the thing is, both teams are coming in pretty much reloaded for this season, which I like a lot. You know, that should be some fireworks, depending on, you know, we have our reservations for our gripes about the game being in Brazil and all the things like that, but You know, but that should be a good game regardless. But when it comes to the Packers, they're, you know, it's weird because when you look at the team, you're like, oh, yeah, they got a lot of good players. But a lot of the guys that you look at, like I said, they're not, like, elite players, but they're just really good at what they do. And, like if Shane didn't mention it, I was going to mention it, but having Jacobs and Dillon as your 1-2 punch in the backfield is great. That is a great running back tandem.
A lot of really good backs in this division.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And one of them flipped to the Vikings. So there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, but Josh Jacobs is definitely, you know, they brought him in for a reason. They wanted to get at least a little bit, you know, younger. They wanted to also just have a back that they know can be more of a bell cow, because Aaron Jones, the injuries were piling up throughout his career. You know, and honestly, man, if I mean, I feel like, because, you know, it's that second year thing. Well, now, you know, it's not Jordan Love's second year in the NFL, but it's his second year starting.
And that's a bigger thing than just sitting on the bench. Your second year, this is his sophomore year, technically, as a starter.
Yeah. And the thing is, you don't want him. I don't think you want him, especially with that receiving core, you don't want him just gunning the ball, being like a gunslinger. You know, he's not a Brett Favre, he's not an Aaron Rodgers. You don't want him throwing the ball 30-plus times a game, pretty much. And that's where Josh Jacobs is important. That's why Josh Jacobs is my X factor. Because Josh Jacobs, you know, with the Raiders, is like, he didn't have a line to really run behind. He didn't have anything to really compliment him for years. And when you look at the numbers, they're very good. And now Josh Jacobs has a better line, has a better team around him. He doesn't have to kind of be the guy on offense. I mean, I know Davante Adams was there, but Davante Adams, you know, like, can only do so much. You still need, you know, and Josh Jacobs is still a guy out of the backfield that catches passes. You know, he still is one of those guys that we forget about. It. He's not just a bell cow kind of running back. He does what he needs to do out of the backfield. In terms of, like, you know, the swing pass game and, you know, running the Texas route and things like that. So Josh Jacobs is going to be a huge part of this offense this season. I mean, Aaron Jones is Aaron Jones, but I mean, Josh Jacobs, and I don't think it's a hot take at all. Josh Jacobs is better. Josh Jacobs is a better running back than Aaron Jones. Josh Jacobs is, you know, he's a guy I've liked for years. He's not, you know, he's not a flashy running back, but he gets the job done. You just need to let him work. You need to give him something to work behind. Like, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, he kind of hasn't been the greatest in, you know, with the Raiders. I'm like, yeah, but it's the Raiders. He's going to a better franchise, a winning culture, a better team. It's going to be a lot better for him. And the thing is, you know, last year was a down year for him, a little bit injury prone, you know, had his lowest yards of his career and lowest TDs. You know, he's got, and lowest, everything was low across the board, but he's got something to prove this year. They brought him in to be the guy. They paid him the money to be the guy in that running back room, and to be the number one back. And, you know, we're only two seasons. You know, last year wasn't great, but in 2022, got a lot of carries. He had 340 carries, but he had over 1,600 rushing yards, 4.9 yards a carry, and 12 rushing TDs. So, you know, across the board, and also he had 400 receiving yards to go on top of that. He broke 2,000 scrimmage yards. So, you know, I'm not saying he has to be a Christian McCaffrey type, but that's the kind of guy he can be in Green Bay if they use him correctly. And if they just give him holes to run through, because God knows he didn't have any with the Raiders. So he's my X factor quite easily. I mean, I could have picked Jordan Love just to see what he does in his sophomore starting season. But Josh Jacobs, you know, you don't want Love throwing the ball over 30 times a game. You just don't want that. I don't think they should. That's not a way to win games with that receiving core, even though it's okay. So Josh Jacobs is going to have to play a big factor out of the, you know, the receiving game too. But I think just he's going to be just that dependable running back that he's been for most of his career.
Will, finish this up on the Packers.
Yeah, I feel like the Packers, they have a sneakily good team usually they've not really talked about much as far as some of the top teams in the NFC. But yeah, I agree. They have a great duo running back. I think their receiver core could be a little bit better. Their O-line is getting better, and their defense is developing really well. And I think Jahdyr Alexander is arguably one of the best DBs in football, probably the third best. But I think that for the offensive side, I feel like the Packers, I feel like they could get a guy like a CeeDee Lamb that could really help them with their passing, with their passing trail, and really upgrade that receiving core. And I think they can have a guy like CeeDee Lamb that could be automatically be a number one receiver for them, and then Watson could be the second. So I feel like if they can make that trade, that can be something. And I do feel like, the X factor for them, I think obviously Josh Jacobs, just because of his track record in the Raiders, and also with that type of offense, I think Josh Jacobs can flourish much better in Green Bay than he was in Las Vegas. So I feel like if the Packers could get a guy like CeeDee Lamb, I think they could probably be up there and compete versus a Detroit Lions in their own division.
Who's your second pick for X Factor, since Brandon already picked Jacobs?
Oh, you did?
Yep.
I would say the second one is Jordan Love.
Shane, you already took Jordan too, didn't you?
No, I took Xavier McKinney.
You
did. Is nobody paying attention?
Lol. So I thought someone would have taken Jordan by now. I am not going to take Jordan, though. I think, here's the thing, right? I think it's super fascinating that Brandon brought up, or that that Will brought up CD, because do you guys not hear the comments this week about the Packers coaching staff hating the idea of a number one receiver? They just don't like it. They just don't like it at all, and it's so fascinating.
I will say, I see what they're saying, because you look at the top dog receivers around the league, none of them are on good teams.
None of them are on good teams either.
Like, the best teams have top, well, for the most part, have top quarterbacks, defensive linemen, and tight ends. Okay? Not receivers. Not saying that tight ends are the difference makers. I'm just pointing it out there. You look at the four teams that made conference championships last year. Okay, you had Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy. And those last two, definitely not as good as the first two, but they're still pretty solid. You know, and then you got, of course, like, your Bosa's, your Nick Jones, Chris Jones, so on and so forth, Aiden Hutchinson, then obviously Kelsey, Laporta, Andrews, what's his face? Kittle. So, you know.
David Njoku.
Njoku for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Had an up year after a bunch of down years, not having assistant quarterback play.
Another team that was good last year, right? Cleveland, Houston, with
Dalton Schultz,
Philly, Dallas Goedert. I mean, you know. So, anyways, but yeah, you look at the best receivers. It's like Justin Jefferson, Vikings. Tyreek Hill, Dolphins. CeeDee Lamb, Cowboys.
unless you want to throw AJ Brown up there, because then AJ Brown in Philly is fine, but he's like the one outlier.
He's like the one, exactly, one out there.
Yeah.
And Jamar Chase, if the Bengals are healthy. Yeah, but most people don't put Amon-Ra up like in that top five.
Yeah, they should after this season. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, I agree, but. Anyways,
I'll finish up saying Quay Walker for my X factor. I think, you know, this team really does care about their linebackers and their D line. I mean, Shane brought up the secondary with McKinney, but that's really what this team is about. That's what Green Bay's always been about, is the linebacking core and that D line, and they're getting that kind of in a multifaceted way with Quay, and he's going to be really important for what they do.
Green Bay's front seven is stacked.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Actually, Will, I'll get you started on the Lions. Super Bowl contender for you?
I don't know. I'm indifferent. I think they're up there, but I feel like in their own conference, I feel like they're probably the second or third Super Bowl contender. But in their own division, yeah, they are. But not really in my list.
Brandon, do you have them up there? Do you feel confident in them getting back to an NFC title game?
I think I do. I think the only thing stopping them is just, what's their defense going to look like? Their defense last year was not good.
It was,
and their offense won them a lot. Their offense won them a lot of games. Their defense, I mean, it was probably the biggest reason that, I mean, besides, we could talk about clock management and the offense, whatever, but defense was probably the biggest reason that they didn't finish off that game against the Niners last season. That defense fell, just collapsed horribly at the end of that game. And like they've been doing all, like they were pretty much doing all season. So, you know, for them to, I feel like the only thing stopping them from being Super Bowl contenders is themselves. It's just, what is that defense going to look like? You know, I look at the offense. We know what the offense is going to be. That offense is fine. I mean, hell, in my draft tonight, receivers were going off the board, and yet everybody was picking around him, and I'm like, I don't know why. I picked up Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm like, because I know what Amon-Ra is going to do.
Why would people pick around him in a fantasy draft?
Like, you know, people had taken A.J. Brown already. People had taken, I think, C.D. came off the board already. And I'm like, okay, we're like five or six wide receivers in. Like, so we're like two rounds in or so, and nobody's taking Amon-Ra. I'm like, bro, I'll take Amon-Ra, because Amon-Ra is going to drop 1,500 yards and have double-digit TDs. Duh. The guy, and the crazy thing is, I'm pretty sure you guys saw it, he played hurt last year and put out those kind of numbers.
Imagine him healthy, guys. Imagine him healthy.
Oh my God. Amon-Ra, and it's not that far-fetched to think about it, a healthy Amon-Ra could probably break 2,000 yards. Probably.
So, I can see it.
So, you know, I mean, will he probably
because there's no other receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, but, look, what do they call him? J-Rob, or what the heck do the Lions team say? Because I've been watching Jameson Williams, yeah. I've been watching Amon-Ra and Equanimous' podcast. But no, I mean, I think he's going to be up there a little bit more. I mean, obviously missing six games with suspension for gambling, he was going to be their number one. I think he can be a fine number two. This offense is totally going to be fine. Defensively, yeah, this is yikes. This is still very much yikes for me.
I mean, looking at it on face value. Look at their defense. Their defense is what? Brian Branch and Aiden Hutchinson?
That's it.
Yeah.
Like that. That's pretty much like, listen, there, you know, there's other names here. Like, you know, Terry Arnold is going to be in his second year. You know, Alex Anzalone's not bad, but he's not great. You know, Jack Campbell, all right. You know, DJ Reader, okay. Marcus Davenport, all right. You know, like, but it's Aiden Hutchinson and Brian Branch. That's it. And so that's why it's concerning, because, you know, the Lions are a team that will score 35 but give up 38. So
give up 50, for God's sakes, some of the offenses in this league.
Oh yeah. So, like, you know, I mean, you look at the offense, it's almost like a tale of two teams. If you compare the defense to the offense, it is a top three, top five offense in the league. And then it's almost like a bottom five defense in the league. So they are very top heavy. They are very offensive heavy. on this team. Because, I mean, Goff has been great for them. Montgomery and Gibbs are a nice 1-2 punch. You know, St. Brown, J-Mo, Khalif Raymond, Sam Laporta's, you know, he, after this season, you can make a case he's the best tight end in football if he balls out this year.
He's number one he's number one for me on my fantasy ranks over Travis pretty easily.
Yeah. I think he's probably 2 or 3 right now, but after this season, you know, even if he just breaks 1,000 yards. Like last year he had 889. I think if he just even just comes close to 1,000, he's the best tight end in football. After this season, because Kelsey's not getting any, you know, getting any younger. He didn't have a good season last year.
Same with Kittle. But, well, Kittle did good, but he's getting older too.
Yeah. I had no choice but to draft him tonight because Kelsey and Laporta and Andrews all came off the board like lightning fast. So I had to take Kittle.
That's what people should do. Thank you.
Look at their offensive line. Decker, Glasgow, Ragnow, Zietler, Penei Sewell. Like that offensive line are like, you know, yeah, Philly lost Kelsey, and I think that's the only reason that the Lions are number one. Like the Lions are two for some people. You know, you can go back and forth between them, Philly, and what, maybe Atlanta. Atlanta, actually, believe it or not, Atlanta does have a really good offensive line.
Yeah, they do.
It's just that they're part of a shit team. So, you know, one and two between Philly and the Lions, you can flip flop, but I had the Lions as my number one line when I wrote my article about a month ago on offensive lines, because look at that. That's a stacked offensive line across the board from left to right. It's a veteran offensive line now. And it's, you know, these guys are all pretty much, you know, what, Decker is 29, Glasgow's 31, but that's for a left guard, it's not that bad. Like for an offensive lineman, it's not bad. Ragnow's 28, prime. Zietler is older, 34, but he's a veteran. He knows what he's got to do. You know, he's fine. And then Penei Sewell is only 23. Like, you know, that line is going to be fine, probably. Well, outside of Zietler, that line has another, you know, at least the majority of it has another 7-8 years of dominance to come yet. It's a long time. So they're going to be just fine. Hutchinson's going to be fine defensively. Branch will be fine at the safety position. Those guys will do their job. It's just, what, like I like bringing it all the way back around, what are we going to get from the Lions defense? Because if they don't show up, this team cannot get to a Super Bowl. So they're Super Bowl contenders just based on their offensive prowess. But in terms of their defense, that is a big, not just a question mark. That is a big, like, what if, you know, who's going to step up outside of those two guys on that defense? Because the rest of them haven't really done anything yet, you know, to prove that they can continue to grow and to get better as a team. You know, here we are. Like, this year should be the year that they come full circle. You know, like we said, Alex Anzalone's not bad, but we still need a little more. I feel, you know, he had almost 130 tackles last year, but and did have 3 sacks. But you're going to need that again. Can you do that again? I don't know, you know. But, I mean, as far as this team's concerned, if I'm looking at this team, like I said, Packers win 11. This team won 12 last year. I think they win 12, maybe 13, but I think they win 12 again. But just because that defense is untrustworthy. Otherwise, if it wasn't for that defense, I think they'd have a shot to finish with the best record in football. But that defense is just so untrustworthy that it knocks them down about, like, what, 2 wins? So I want to sit here and say Super Bowl contender because I can see it with them, and they should have beaten the Niners last year. But, man, I mean, they didn't do anything to really bolster that defense. They're kind of just running it back. And I just don't know what you're going to get by running it back. I feel like you needed to add something to that defense, and they really didn't. So that's why this team is probably going to be stuck probably at 12 wins again, which isn't bad at all. But I think in the grand scheme of things, that's going to probably put them at second or third again in the NFC. And that's probably where I think they end up again this year.
Shane, finish us up on the Lions and get us started with X factors here.
Well, yeah, I think they probably win 12 again. Yeah, you know, you picked up Carlton Davis on defense, which he'll be my X factor. Spoiler alert. But just because, you know, last year they're, you know, I had to sneeze, sorry. their biggest weakness, of course, was the defense, particularly the pass defense. And, you know, it was ultimately a secondary issue. So, you know, it's like, okay, now at least you have a guy like Carlton Davis, Brian Branch, who, you know, is not as great, but he's fine, to give you some life in the secondary. But still, it's just, I mean, of course you got Aiden Hutchinson, who's a stud, but other than that, it's, you know, it's a lot of guys who are not great. So, yeah, they're definitely going to be, it's definitely worrisome. You know, in the regular season, they'll probably be all right because they're just, you know, playing whatever bad teams, as you do in the regular season. But come playoff time, I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to hang with, you know, San Francisco or even Green Bay if they're better. I could see Green Bay taking Detroit out in the playoffs. So we'll see. I mean, I do still think they win the division by like a game. But they, as far as like the Super Bowl goes, I think they're probably my, they're probably my third or fourth favorite to win the NFC as of right now. So, you know, we'll see, of course, when January comes around, which will just be right around the corner. Sounds like so long from now, but it always comes quickly. But, well,
if you're putting them at three or four, who's ahead of them in the NFC?
Well, 1-2 for me right now is, assuming Ayuk stays in San Francisco, the Niners. And 2, I think, would probably be Green Bay. I do think Detroit does better in the regular season just because easier opponents, but come playoff time, I feel like the lack of defense is going to hurt them because that's, you know, in the playoffs, as the saying goes, defense wins championships. So, you know, and you're going to be playing a lot much better offenses. So I just think Green Bay is more well equipped for the playoffs, if that makes sense. And then like 3 or 4 to me is between like Detroit and Philly. So, you know, I mean, Philly really just depends on coaching, and how they adapt without like Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox, who, you know, two very big losses. But anyways, this isn't the NFC East show, is it? So, so yeah, but you know, this offense is filthy. I mean, it's probably a top three offense in the league, behind like Philly and maybe Kansas City. You know, you got Goff, who in my opinion is a top 10 quarterback. I know that's a hot take for some people, but and then I think probably the best running back duo in the league, not the best running backs, but like the best combo, 1-2 mm-hmm. punch. If they're not the best, they're up there. I mean, the only other one I could think of would be like Green Bay, oddly enough. And then, you know, Laporta, as you guys were saying, potentially the best tight end this year. Best offensive line, I think, by a mile in the league. So, yeah, this offense, and Ben Johnson, great offensive coordinator too, so there's a lot to like here, but it's just the defense. You know, it's will they be able to keep them in games? That's what we're going to have to see.
All right, Brandon, continue with the X factors here.
Yeah. If I had to, I mean, there's a lot you can pick. But I've already picked offense a ton. So I'm going to go on the defensive side of things. And I feel like if you are going to get, you know, any kind of hope defensively, I mean, you know, it's easy to pick Hutchinson. Hutchinson will be what Hutchinson is. He'll be a dog in the backfield and all over the line. I have no problem with him. I feel like the X factor is going to have to be not Anzalone. I'm going to say it's going to be the other kind of big star on the defense. It's going to be Brian Branch. You know, 3 interceptions last year, 13 pass deflections. You know, but at safety, you know, he did show moments of kind of getting beat. You know, obviously as a rookie safety last year, he had more great moments than not so great. And I feel like if he takes another step, he is going to be a key part of that pass defense and making it a lot better than what it was, and just making that defense better in general. And I just feel like, you know, he kind of, despite only being 22. He has to be the leader of that secondary room. I mean, you know, like, Kirby Joseph didn't have a bad season, but he had 4 picks, but doesn't tell the whole story. He got torched quite a bit last year. I mean, Tyron Arnold is a rookie. Meek Robertson. We don't know anything really about him. You know, so that's, you know, to Tyron Arnold's, you know, he's coming into the season unknown. I mean, you know, Robertson unknown. Kirby Joseph was kind of burnt a little bit last year. Carlton Davis is important. He definitely is. But I feel like Brian Branch has to be the leader of that secondary, and he has to really take charge this year and kind of be, I feel like almost he's got to show that he's a ball-hawking safety like we know he can be. Last year, he showed those moments, but he did get beat. So if he takes another step forward, and then I think the defense will too, and then that will help them a lot in the long run. That might steal them a game potentially this season if he really steps up and finds another gear at such a young age. He's going to turn 23 in October, so he's still super young. But he has a chance, if he really balls out this year, not only be considered one of the best safeties in the game, but to be just a guy that defense can call upon when they need a big play, a big stop, a big, you know, pass deflection, pass breakup, pick, whatever it is. He's that kind of guy that can do that. He flies to the ball really well. I like him a lot. He was a guy I wanted for Philly in the draft last year. But he's going to be really important this year if that team wants to take it just a step further, I think, just overall in their goals and aspirations rather than just that defense. So he's definitely my X factor.
Will, what about you? Who do you have for Detroit?
My X factor, to be honest, I think is DJ Reader. I feel like the Lions' running defense hasn't been pretty good, especially that defensive line. Agent Hutchinson is basically by himself. I think DJ Reader could be a guy that helped them. He had a lot, very good at team total tackles. He's good at like stuffing the run, so I think he could help out with that one. So I think that if they could at least stop the run, their defensive line at least be that type of defensive wall that stops the run. And then they have to force offenses to throw and let Hutchinson get free. I think the Lions, that could really help the Lions. So I'll say DJ Reader.
I'm going to go with the rookie corner out of Alabama in Terrion Arnold. I think he's going to be really important. I think he has an opportunity to really grow in the secondary. Again, they're going to need it, as we mentioned. So I'm going to go with him. The Bears. Shane, please tell me this team is not a playoff team in your mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we all chill the hell out with the Bears?
Yeah, can we please flipping relax, guys? This is so stupid.
Everybody's like, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl. No one's saying that, but...
some people are.
But
you're not wrong.
Yeah. But a lot of people are like, yeah, they're going to win 10, 11 games. No, this team, their offensive line is hot garbage. And on defense, they have like three good players, okay? This is... And everyone, because everybody's saying, oh, but they have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. Okay. DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are like mediocre ones at best. And Rome Odunze is a rookie. Who knows how well he'll do? I think he'll be great, but I mean, you know, I'm a Washington fan, so I'm biased. And this is all assuming that Caleb Williams is, as many people are saying, going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. I don't see it personally, but to me, I just see another Sam Darnold, to be totally honest with you, but we'll see. I mean, I could be wrong. Hope I am. You know, I hope everybody has a good career, but I just don't see it. Not to mention, they have easily the worst coaching staff in this division. Matt Eberflus is a clown. Get him out of Chicago. And Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator. I don't know how he got an OC job after Seattle. I mean, how do you take that talent and screw it up that badly? Come on. What are we doing? Not to mention he's got kind of like a West Coast, you know, zone run type philosophy. Or, sorry, West Coast power run. This offensive personnel does not cater to that one bit. This is, I don't even know what this is. This is just a random mishmash of guys that should not work together. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll give them 7 wins, but honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if these guys finished last in the division. You know, at least the Vikings feel like they have some stability. This just feels like someone's making something, cooking something, and it's like things are going wrong, and they're just like, oh, here, throw paprika in there. It's like, with the brown sugar? Yeah, sure. I don't know. It's just like, and hoping it works out. I'm not a fan of this team. I don't know what it is everybody sees in them, but maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. But X-Factor players, I'll take Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, he's one of their good defensive players, really solid middle linebacker. They're going to need, you know, they're going to need a solid guy in the middle kind of patrolling things. So, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Brandon, there's no way this team even comes close to the playoffs, right?
Yeah, no. I said it even before they drafted Caleb Williams, because we already basically knew he was going there. I'm like, listen, I don't care if they draft him or not. They're not making the playoffs. They're just not. Even if they finished third in this division, that's only going to equate to 7 wins, like Shane said. That's it. And that's being generous. Caleb Williams, you know, I still don't understand the Mahomes comp, because it's not there.
He's dumb. It's so stupid. I don't get
it. He's closer to Darnold than he is to Mahomes.
Like, literally, he's slower than Mahomes. He has worse arm strength than Mahomes. He's less accurate. Like, you know, where do you see Mahomes in him? Other than, like, because he can escape a pocket? Yeah. I hate this because of the throw that he made. What was it, yesterday? Rolling out of the pocket to his left and throwing that dot to Odunze. Okay. You know, Justin Fields did the same thing, but ran for his life.
It's the Justin flipping preseason. The relax, people. Sorry, yeah, I had to get that in there. Like, relax.
And it's like you know, it's the preseason. But if you want to take it one step further, he did that a lot at USC and got burned. He threw picks. He got sacked. He worked himself into sacks. You mean to tell me that he won't do that at the next level? If he was struggling to do that, to doing those same things in college, you mean to tell me he's going to come to the NFL and become Mahomes, just raw out of the pocket and throw a dot across body? Get the hell out of here. Get real. Stop smoking crack.
Yeah, you know who else can escape a pocket? Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Everyone can escape a pocket and make a throw.
Who's slower than my grandpa?
Like, I don't understand what this escapability thing has to do with, the only people that can do it are Caleb Williams and Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Jalen Hurts can do it. Tom Brady did it. Like, what are you getting at here? Okay? And, you know, like, the everything else about Caleb Williams does not scream superstar. It just doesn't. But, you know, like their wide receiver room is actually pretty good if they're healthy. You know, we got to see how healthy Keenan Allen is, because the guy really, you know, he's not the model of health in his career. The guy hasn't been healthy since 2021.
And apparently he's gained like 20 pounds in fat this offseason.
Yeah, so he's really slower. He's already 32.
So slower and more injuries.
Yeah. Literally slower, more injuries, and older. So you know, Keenan Allen is going to be, I think, good. Like, I still think he'll crack 1,000 yards because it's Keenan Allen, but he'll probably play like 11 games and barely crack 1,000. I mean, you know, okay, whatever. You know, DJ Moore, I mean, you know, everybody talks about him. You know, DJ Moore is going to be DJ Moore, but like, none of these guys are double-digit receiving touchdown threats. None of these guys, you know, they're only getting older. You know, maybe Moore's in his prime, but Keenan Allen is not. Odunze, I mean, we know what he did in college, but can he do it at the next level? Well, you know, one throw doesn't determine that. Cole Kmet is a decent tight end. Yeah, he really is. I think Caleb Williams, I think if that team's going to be successful, they're going to have to dump the ball down to him a lot, because every rookie quarterback or every good quarterback needs a good tight end, needs a good safety valve kind of guy. So you have that. But their offensive line is hot garbage. Their defense is going to be their defense. Their defense, they've always had a good defense. That's the Bears' motto. You know, duh, Bears. Like, when you think of Chicago Bears, you think defense. You don't think offense. You know, I mean, who's the best offensive player in their history? Walter Payton?
How many years ago was that?
They're the only NFL team who has never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Yeah.
Holy crapola. What?
And that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen with Caleb Williams this year.
True fact.
and it ain't going to happen with Caleb this year under center. So, you know, why do people think that all of a sudden this guy's just going to magically come in and change their fortunes? Yeah, and especially like Shane said, with that garbage coaching staff, I don't understand. But, you know, it's, you know, people can believe what they want to believe in fantasy land because Caleb Williams has so much hype. I mean, the guy had an awful end to his college career. So I don't understand what people would expect. You know, if this was Caleb Williams second half of last season, then yeah, that'd be considered to be a really good hype. But the way he ended his college career and all the head case stuff in the offseason, and now we're glazing him over one throw he's made in preseason, bro. Have we learned nothing from when everybody glazed, or especially the Jets front office, glazed Zach Wilson for the one throw he made at his pro day? Like, come on, man. Or combine, whatever the hell it was. Who cares?
And every time Hanyo Donias throws a pass? Daniel Jones?
I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. The Bears, to me, they'll be lucky to win 7. I think they win probably 5. Because I just don't think they'll score enough. The defense will do okay, but I don't think that offense is going to particularly light it up. I mean, that running back room is okay, not great. You know, that's no disrespect to DeAndre Swift. I like what he did in Philly, but he's not meant to be a larger workload than what he got for us last year in Philly. So, I mean, if they use him any more than that, he's going to end up injured. Hate to say it, but it's true. And Khalil Herbert's just not it. So that running back room is really relying mostly on Swift, which is not a good idea because he's not a bell cow back. So, you know, I mean, they'd be lucky to win 7. I realistically think they win 5 just because I think they'll probably, like, I think they're a 4-win team, but I think Caleb Williams probably steals them a game somewhere. Just he shows that one flash or something like that. But that's it. You know, I just don't see anything that's really redeeming. And I think to me, like, you know, there's my other boy, TJ Edwards. I miss him in Philadelphia, but, you know, I think he's really good. And you know what, honestly, if I had to pick an X factor when I look at this team out of all the guys, I mean, I think the X factor, I mean, I guess it's tough, but you know what? I will say Keenan Allen, because the guy is just, you like, the guy has never had more than 8 TDs in his career in a season. He's 32. But you know what's funny is that he has a chance to believe it or not, you know, be a borderline Hall of Famer, because the guy is going to break, you know, 11,000 yards this year. And he's going to have probably roughly, you know, close to 70 TDs maybe by the end of the season. So he's got a chance. Because he's probably, he's a guy that like, you know how there's longevity Hall of Famers. He's a guy that can be a longevity Hall of Famer despite being very injured in his career. But if the Bears are gonna have any success, you don't want to rely on a prime DJ Moore and then just a rookie in Odunze to do a lot of the work. You need that veteran Keenan Allen to be healthy in order to help your quarterback grow. You know, we talk about them needing safety, a safety valve tight end, and they have that in Cole Kmet, and I think that'll be fine. But for years now, the Bears have needed that. I mean, now they have the number one, DJ Moore, but you needed that second wide receiver to just do anything to help your quarterback grow, and that's where Keenan Allen does step in. That's why they went and got him. So, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if Odunze ends up halfway through the season taking that wide receiver 2 spot, honestly. But at the same time, you know, Keenan Allen needs to be healthy for this team to do the damage, and he hasn't played 16 games. Forget a full 17. He hasn't played 16 in 3 years. So
3 seasons. So, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So 2022, he only played 10. 2023, he played 13. So you want him at least to get to 15, right? So, you know, you would think. So, I mean, you know, he'll still put up numbers, but I feel like if you want that team to succeed, you brought him in to be one of those guys in that wide receiver room that shows up. So part of showing up is also staying healthy. You know, best ability is availability. So I think he's the X factor for that offense, for Caleb Williams, and probably just for that team to kind of go far and to take another step offensively. So he's my X factor.
Will, what about you? Do you have hope that this team makes the playoffs, or are you like us, thinking it's a bit overhyped?
Honestly, I think they have, to me, the team set up right now, it feels like they have a good chance to get to the playoffs. Honestly, I feel like Caleb Williams, to be honest, is my X factor. I think, to me, the Bears front office put a lot of eggs in that basket. And to me, it kind of feels a little bit dirty that they didn't do it for Justin Fields, but now they did it for a guy like Caleb Williams. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think Caleb, to be honest, he's probably in the best situation a rookie quarterback has been in quite some time, because not a lot of rookie quarterbacks that we know of have been in a best situation in their rookie year with a lot of, like, key pieces that need to be. Like, I feel like this is sort of a good team, especially with the offense. I think it can be good. We just have to see how Caleb does during this couple of games, because I think that's going to be the decision, either that or the second half of the season, like a CJ Stroud, because we thought Bryce Young was the guy, but then Caleb Williams showed out in the second half of the season. So it could be something like Caleb Williams, but I think Caleb Williams possibly could be doing good this early. We got to see how the O-line stacks up too, because I know the Bears O-line has been a little bit wishy-washy for the past couple of seasons. We just got to see if Caleb Williams can learn to not hold the ball too long and throw it quick and then run when he needs to run. Like, I think he has that ability. I know sometimes in college, besides his Heisman year, I feel like, you know, Caleb has, like, you know, some good games and some downright, like, what the heck games. And I think And I feel like Caleb Williams, to me, is my X factor. And I feel like if he can really succeed and be what he was drafted as the first overall pick, I think the Bears have a good chance to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's really about what Caleb can do, and that's also why I'm taking Cole Kmet. People got to talk about this kid more. We don't do enough on this show to talk about this guy. He's really good. He's really, really good, and no one actually talks about him, even us, as much as we should. I'm not really excited about the Bears this year, but we'll see. Look, they did absolutely bring in more help than Justin Fields ever had, but we'll see. I'm not really that excited about it. What I am excited about talking about, though, is The Force Awakens. Guys, this movie got me hype. This movie got me hype. It got me being like a real Star Wars fan. I know the movies, I guess, get worse from here on in, but Shane, go ahead. What's your overall thought in rewatching Force Awakens?
Yeah. Well, I remember when I saw it for the first time, which is not rewatching it, but I have to include this because the Brandon, you probably remember this. The hype, and Will, I don't know, Will, if you're a big fan of these movies, but the hype when this movie came out was insane.
Oh yeah.
It was, I mean, with every trailer that came out, it was like everybody was examining every individual frame of it. Like, oh, is that this thing or what? You know, and it, you know, when I saw it, I thought it lived up to the hype, for the most part, at least, you know. I mean, this is a very fun movie. You know, it really, I think what I felt when I watched it and still do feel to this day is, you know, I loved the first two being New Hope and Empire. And then after that, it was kind of like, eh, you know. None of the others kind of quite captured just that magic, that essence, the lightning in a bottle that they kind of had in those first two. But this felt really close to me. I didn't feel like it was quite on the level of those two, but I was like, hey, this is the best we've had since. You know, it's, I really, I enjoy how it's, you know, the J.J. Abrams, the writer-director, describes it as a series of mystery boxes. You know, it's like, okay, well, who's this person? You know, it just grabs you, it brings you in. You're like, oh, is this person related to, oh, okay. You know, and then things start to connect and click and, you know, so for instance, the trailers totally made it seem like Finn was supposed to be the Jedi. So when we started watching this, I was, you know, I was like, okay, who's this Poe guy. Okay, he must be some other character. And then you see Finn. And I was like, oh, the stormtrooper becomes a Jedi? That's genius. And then it showed Rey, and I was like, oh, yeah, there's that girl who was, like, shooting a blaster in one of the trailers. Well, okay, I guess she'll be, you know, just some who knows what. But then as she's flying the Falcon and doing so great, I was like, wait, is she the Jedi? you know, and which that was really fun, too. But anyways, yeah, it's just stuff like that, you know, and how they go back to many practices of the original trilogy. For instance, it's not, none of it's shot on green screen or blue screen like the prequels. It's all on location or a set, a practical set. And it's, you know, it's they were in the woods in England, and they were in the desert in Abu Dhabi. They were not just, you know, in some studio. And it just looks way better. It feels more real. And I thought, you know, I thought it was a great balance of having these new characters setting off on their journey while also bringing in the old guys like Han, Leia, Luke. And I felt they did them all justice in their own way in this movie. You know, next week we'll it'll be a slightly different discussion, but anyways.
No, I don't want to think about what next week is going to be. If I enjoyed this movie so much.
But for this movie, I thought they were all treated very well. You know, and yeah, and it's just great. And, you know, I really like Kylo Ren. To me, he's like what Anakin should have been, if that makes sense. Like, you know, because he, you know, the Skywalkers are all kind of, you know, moody and they complain, whatever, but with this guy, you really feel his conflict and inner turmoil a little more, whereas Anakin just seemed like some moody little, you know what. So I like that. And but by far the biggest mystery that came out of this movie that we talked about for years was, who is Rey's family? And I'm just going to say this. My theory coming out of the theater, not going to say what it was, but it ended up being correct. And I'm very proud of that. Everybody told me I was wrong, but I was like, hold on, just wait. And I got it exactly correct. But we'll talk more about that in 2 weeks.
Brandon, what is your experience with this film as a whole?
Well, you know what was big about this movie, especially at the time it came out, was not just that. I mean, this was the first Star Wars movie to come out in the true, like, technology age. So, this was a big deal because this, you know, everybody freaked out about it because obviously, you know, there wasn't really much social media when the prequels came out. There was, but not on this level as when this came out. And I remember too, they campaigned for this like it was insanity. You know, you couldn't turn on any channel on TV. You couldn't go anywhere without seeing a poster for it, or, you know, seeing just any kind of advertisement for it. And I remember when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is the first time our generation could go to the movies and see a Star Wars movie. We were too young when the prequels came out, and we weren't alive for the original trilogy. So everybody I knew that was my age wanted to go see this movie. We're like, Star Wars, this, you know, we're finally able to see a Star Wars movie. Let's go see it. You know, I told my grandparents that I want to go so bad. And we went to see it. And I remember it came out, you know, a week before Christmas. And I said to my grandparents, I said, I don't care how long, I don't care what time we see it, just as long as it's, you know, it's this month. And and at that time, I mean, I can't believe that was 9 years ago already. It's insane to think about that. The next year would be the 10th anniversary of this movie. But yeah, I remember it was freezing that day, but I remember that when I saw it, I was in awe by it. I was like, I finally get to see a Star Wars movie in person in theaters, not having to wait for it to come out on TV like 10 years later. You know, and it's crazy how now this movie has become a staple on TV now.
Yeah,
that's how long it's been.
It's on TNT a frick ton.
Yeah. I will say next week, I won't spoil it, but Shane and I talked about it last week in a text message of why next week will be a very interesting discussion.
All I got for this week is that was hype as hell, and seeing Luke at the end got me like super hype. I woke up my dad at 3 a.m. by accident because I was going crazy the whole film. So
That's one thing I want to talk about really quick. A lot of people didn't like the ending of this movie. I thought it was great.
Oh, it was genius. I loved it. Fantastic. I loved it too. Will, what is your experience with Star Wars overall?
Personally, I never seen a Star Wars movie in my life. I think I know I watched a TV show as a kid. I'm mostly along lines of mostly the superhero type movies I've been watching more. I don't know. I just that Star Wars or Star Trek, I don't know. It doesn't really do it for me lately.
That's fair. We started this because I never actually started watching it until now. But Brandon, continue with what you were saying here.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're getting deja vu over again when you had said to us, Rob, that you'd never seen you hadn't seen most of the Star Wars movies, and we're like, okay.
I just didn't want to get spoiled for Will.
Yeah, we've set off on this journey, and also, I can use the joke. Yes, Will. You are joining at a low point in this franchise.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
You are joining at a low point.
God, it's not even a Star Wars joke, but you know.
Still, it counts, given the situation. Yeah.
Given the blockbusters, you know, that came out this summer. Yeah, it works. But, yeah, with this movie, this one, like I was saying for 2 weeks now, I'm like, this one is going to be the one that you're going to want to watch kind of again. It has rewatchability or has a...
It's for sure. Perfect. 100%. 100%.
But that's why I always said, yeah, this is probably the last movie. Like, the problem was with this one is it set the bar high for the sequels. And then the sequels, if there's anything I'm going to say about it, they just fell into the trap that the prequels kind of fell into.
I'm genuinely going to be upset, like, if I don't like these next two films because how much I love this movie. Like,
yeah,
if it's really going to be that bad, I'm going to be so upset.
Those two are going to, I hate to say it, but they're going to pale in comparison to this movie.
Dang it.
But with this...
I think they fail for a very different reason than the prequels, though. And we'll talk about that after. But
we'll go into it in depth next week. But you know, with this, like everybody, every character had a purpose in this movie. I can't remember if I had seen anything Adam Driver had made before this movie, but this got a lot of people our age into being like Adam Driver fans and watching other things that he has done. You can pretty much say that this movie was a star vehicle for Adam Driver. But because that's just how good he was as Kylo Ren.
there was one big thing he was in before this, which was Girls, which was really fun.
I'd heard about it, but I don't know anybody that watched it. Like everybody that I knew that had found out about him through this.
It was funny in a bad way. He had some really god awful dialogue in there. Like, there was one scene where he's sitting there and he's like, "I just had sex and I'm gonna eat nachos."
Oh god.
He like slams the table. I was like, okay.
Yeah, Adam Driver's definitely, there's just something about him that's just, you know, he can, even with a crappy script, he can make it just be so bad that it's good, like funny wise, comedy wise.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I think honestly, like, I mean, he's good in this, yeah, but as much as I'm kind of about 8, the next movie, I think that's definitely his best performance in this series. Which,
yeah,
we'll talk about that next week, but yeah.
But this is, I mean, Daisy Ridley has done a couple things since this, but this was basically her, like, the only thing she's kind of done.
I still want to watch Sometimes I Think About Dying when she's in the lead for that film. I haven't seen that yet. I wanted to.
Yeah.
And don't forget, she was in Chaos Walking with Tom Holland.
Oh, God, I'm about to puke.
But the best part about this movie is it brings together a lot of, you know, the people that we've come to know and love from Star Wars and bringing them into a newer age, which is great. Like, you know, Peter Mayhew, who plays Chewbacca, you know, this was a big role for him because this was it for him. It's the last time he played it. He retired from it after this.
So he passed away a couple years after.
Yeah, I think like 4 years, like right before COVID, it's like 4 years after. You know, Andy Serkis, who everybody knows. Well, a lot of people know him for different reasons. You know, obviously he's done a lot of computer-generated characters. He's done Gollum, Lord of the Rings. He was also King Kong in the 2005 movie. And of course, what we know him for, he's Caesar, Planet of the Apes. So, he's no different in this, playing Supreme Leader Snoke. So obviously, you know, really cool to see that. Just a lot of great, pretty much a lot of great people in this movie. Of course, this was the first time it's crazy, because I remember when I saw the movie Us, I remember seeing Lupita Nyong'o somewhere before, and I forgot that it was from here. She's a good actress. You know, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, you know, Driver, and of course the legendary Hamill, Ford, and Fisher. It brings both generations of the cast together. We don't talk about the prequels. But brings the original cast, the original cast and the new one together, and does it in a way that's so well done. You know, having practical effects this time instead of having god awful CGI and green screens and things like that.
Like the guy's mouth.
But it's, you know, this movie is just. I also forget that Ewan McGregor does make a cameo in this as a vocal cameo. He does. Forgot about that.
And so does Alec Guinness.
Yeah, this is. It's so good. Like
14 years after he died.
Well, yeah, but if this would have just been like, I kind of like in retrospect, you know, at the time I was like, oh great, we're getting another Star Wars trilogy, yay! But I'm like, then now that I look back on it in retrospect, I'm like, God, I wish this would have been a standalone. Oh, I wish it would have been a standalone, because it would have been a lot better. Because the next two movies to me just, I mean, they don't ruin it completely, but they come close.
It's just, and this one was such a promising start, and they just kind of went nowhere with it, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like they just kind of rode the coattails of the success instead of trying to, you know, actively try to follow it up and make it better. It feels like they just coasted off of this one. And that didn't help the final product of the next two. But yeah, this movie's great. I gave the original trilogy like 9 point somethings. I think I give the prequels like, you know, fives. whatever it was, fours and fives. This one to me kind of falls at like an 8, 7.5, 8.
I'm giving this a 9. I really enjoyed this. I really, really enjoyed this film.
And yeah, so it's different for everybody, but I think this, you know, it's not going to be the original trilogy, but I definitely think this is worthy of probably an 8. So I definitely liked it a lot. I loved it when it came out. I have fond memories of seeing it when it came out. You know, I remember even when they showed the trailer, it was very nostalgic looking. Like, it didn't look like it was like a new movie, whatever it was. It looked like they kind of, you know, the way they built it up was very Star Wars-esque. And I love it. And it's just a shame the next two kind of don't really do it justice and help it kind of stand up a little more. But it's a very good movie. It's probably, like, if I had to put it like in my rankings, it's probably in my, this one's also probably in my top 4, I think.
It's third for me.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I could watch it again. I watch it every time it's on TV. But when I see that it's this movie on, you know, like when The Last Jedi comes on, I skip it. I turn it off. Like, this one's the only one of the new ones I will watch. So that says a lot about what you're going to get into the next couple weeks. But this movie's great. So that's all I got to say about it.
What's your letter grade, Shane?
Yeah, you know, I give the first two an A. By the way, the thing I just sent you is behind-the-scenes video of that snow fight. It just shows you the difference between, like, this and the prequels. Because this, they built a set. Like, that was not shot on location or on a green screen. They legit built an indoor forest for this fight. That's, and it looks amazing.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. Watch that. Anyways, so I gave those two an A. And, you know, as they say in the very first line of this movie, this will begin to make things right. That's... I kid you not, that's the first line of this movie. And I think that was kind of intentional. like a wink and a nod to us. And for me, I give it like an A-. I mean, you know, not quite on the level of those two, but yeah, pretty close. Will, what do you give it? No, I'm kidding.
before we go...
I see a movie.
Before we go... Madden 25. The new Madden 25. Not the old Madden 25. The new one. Oh my god, man. What, do you guys remember what I gave Madden last year? A 3? A 4?
Something like that.
I gave it like a 3. I'm giving this one a 3. it's so bad. Okay, I genuinely want to ask this question to anyone that works on Madden at EA Sports. Clint Ollenberg, all you guys. Do you guys care about football? Do you guys care? Because college football, Brandon and I gave it an 8. And I don't think we emphasized how much that development team cares about the atmosphere of college football. Cares about football as a whole. Do these guys even care?
I will not say anything negative on this subject due to certain reasons.
Yeah, no, even with that.
That you may know of.
Yeah, even with that. Bro, do you guys care? Like, I don't care about that. Look, I'm going to speak my mind. This game sucks. This game pisses me off. Number one, they fixed things that didn't need to be fixed. The hit stick is better. I'm not saying it's not better. The rating, more ratings-based gameplay, that's good. I don't know why that needs to be touted as a feature. Running game is fine. It's good. The new feature set's nice. Why is it slower than Madden 24? Why did they just say, oh, let's make the game slower? Why? The new commentary and presentation is great, but it's not enough. There needs to be more. Like I don't hear enough of Greg Olsen. I don't hear enough of Brock Heward. This is partially because I play Ultimate Team, but whatever. It's fine. It's good, but there needs to be more done to it. Let's see. The new revamp passing that's in College Football 25 is not here, and apparently it's coming in a future update. So why did you tout it as a feature to begin with then? The soundtrack is wonderful and probably the best part of the game. Everything AI in this game is just broken. The gameplay's so bad. Especially with how... Yeah, and don't get me wrong. College football has bad, like, some really bad moments. I get that. But it's kind of masked by fast gameplay that this game doesn't need. This game doesn't need, like, super fast gameplay. It just doesn't need to go be, like, sluggish as fucking hell. But yeah, no, this game's so broken. And I really want another company to step up and do an NFL game, because this is ridiculous. I hope we get non-exclusive licenses in the next contract, because, yikes, this game's rough compared to college football. College football is actually incredible compared to this. I'm honestly to the point where I'm extremely frustrated at kind of where we're at with this franchise, where we've been with this franchise the last 10 years. I don't think I've given Madden a good rating in such a long time. It's so frustrating. But yeah, no, this is a 3 for me. It's awful. It's incredibly awful. And it especially hurts when college football is where it's at. But that's kind of my overall take on Madden 25. Don't buy it. Get the trial. If you want to buy any football game, buy college football. It's worth it. Support people who actually care about football. Sorry, Clint Hollenberg, but like, bro, come on. This is unacceptable. But that's my overall take on Madden 25. This is just unacceptable. But it's been that way for a long time. Anyway, final thoughts before we go.
I say Madden 25
no.
Is trash.
Yeah, it's trash. Yep. Shane, anything?
I can't think of anything funny. Yeah, da 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 da.
And I mean, not just anything funny, but he also can't say about what he feels about the product. So he can't live there. So that's not gonna happen.
Yeah. I can't really say why on the pod, but yeah.
Yeah. But that's you know, it's, but it's.
But you know, but I think Madden is fantastic, absolutely. So,
yeah, God, okay.
I want to laugh so hard,
bro.
you can,
bro. If IGN gave Madden 25 a 6, if they don't give this like a 5, I will lose my mind.
Wait, a 6 is I think being generous with how much you bashed it.
No, what I'm saying is IGN gave Madden 24 a 6.
No.
So I'll
tell you, no, usually they give Madden like a 9 every year.
So I hope Madden 25 is a lower rating. Yeah, I'm giving it a 3. Am I gonna still play it? Yes. But will I play college football more? Absolutely, yes.
We knew that before both games came out. We even said, no, we're playing college football more. That's it.
No, we are, definitely. Alright, well, that is it for us. We will see you all next week. And next week, Brandon, come prepared. We're doing Pod Quickies Game of the Week for week 1.
Let's go.
Next week. So
let's
come
go.
Prepared. Come prepared. We'll see you all then. Have a great week, everybody.
See you, everybody.
See you, boys.